This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Scott Simon.
First of all, what my opponent wants you to forget is that he voted to authorize the use of force and now says it's the wrong war at the wrong time at the wrong place. I don't see how you can lead this country to succeed in Iraq if you say wrong war, wrong time, wrong place. What message does that send our troops?
I will succeed for those troops now that we're there. We have to succeed. We can't leave a failed Iraq. But that doesn't mean it wasn't a mistake of judgment to go there and take the focus off of Osama bin Laden. It was. Now we can succeed, but I don't believe this president can.
President Bush and Senator John Kerry disagreeing over U.S. policy in Iraq at their first debate in Coral Gables, Florida on Thursday. Two more presidential debates are scheduled and one vice presidential debate in advance of November's elections. Joining us now to review all the week's news is NPR senior news analyst Dan Schur. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning, Scott.
And the first opinion surveys that have been taken within a few hours and even 48 hours after the debates show that a majority of respondents believe that Senator Kerry won the debate. There will be presumably opinion polls coming out this weekend that will show us whether or not there was an overall change in the opinion polls as to who people want to vote for. But let me ask you about that assessment, that Senator Kerry performed better by all measures.
Well, this was not an Oxford debate where you had judges who could give points precisely. But most polling organizations and most political analysts, even those who themselves support President Bush, agree that Senator Kerry won this debate in the sense that he seemed to control the dialogue. As you suggest, I think it'll take several more days to ascertain how many independent voters now tilt towards the senator, how many Bush voters, if there are any, who are beginning to tilt towards Senator Kerry. But the short word is Kerry won.
Did you think you learned anything new about either President Bush or Senator Kerry that was revealed in that debate?
Well, I think I learned one new thing about President Bush, that he does not perform as well in a debate as President of the United States as he did when he was a challenger for that position in the year 2000, or indeed in his races for governor of Texas against Ann Richards. At times, the president seemed to scowl as Kerry, as though he was saying, who are you to be talking to the President of the United States this way? Incidentally, the reason we were able to see the reactions of President Bush on television was only because the television networks violated the rule, which apparently had been imposed on them, that they only show the one who was speaking, no reaction shots, no cutaway shots. This was, however, a triumph of style over substance because the cutaway shots interested a great many people.
And the question that will preoccupy a lot of people is does performing well in a presidential debate necessarily translate to winning an election?
Well, certainly not necessarily. The question is how often it's happened. In some cases, we're not even sure. 1960, the Kennedy-Nixon debates were considered to be a major factor in Kennedy's victory. Whether decisive, I'm not sure. The same, I think, could be said of Governor Reagan against President Jimmy Carter. There you felt that that these debates were making a big difference.
Time will tell?
Time will tell.
Okay.
That's a wonderful phrase. Where'd you get that?
It just came to me. We'll use it again, though, I promise.
Okay.
It was interesting. The candidates debated foreign policy issues, and obviously Iraq dominated the discussion, and tangentially Osama bin Laden. But there was also a real disagreement over North Korea.
Well, whether it's disagreement or misunderstanding or what, I'm not exactly sure. It is
no disagreement that either candidate wants North Korea to have nuclear weapons. Let me make
right.
that point.
No, they agree that it'd be better, all things considered, if North Korea didn't have nuclear weapons. But this is a rather complicated matter in which when the Bush administration came into office, they halted the negotiations which President Clinton had started and in which he had made a certain amount of progress. And then they said, okay, we will, but only if you have a six-sided meeting called by China, no bilateral meetings. So it gets to be very, very complicated because the fact is that this administration has not pursued relations with North Korea in the way that the previous one did. And so therefore, one can argue this either way and at great length. Fact of the matter is, we probably would have been further in those negotiations if it weren't that at the start President Bush said, we're not going to talk to them.
Mm-hmm. Well, what about the Bush administration's contention that you can't talk to a dictator effectively? There has to be an overall policy.
Well, what about it? It's not as though we don't have... I think that President Putin of Russia is probably a bigger dictator than any of the others. And apparently that doesn't inhibit...
Than Kim Jong-il, really?
Huh?
Than Kim Jong-il, really?
Yes. Yeah. He's only because there's
bigger
a lot
country.
More at stake involved there.
Let me ask you about the importance of the elections that are scheduled in January for Iraq to U.S. policy. We recognize the importance, obviously, for Iraqis. As we speak this weekend, U.S. and Iraqi forces are conducting a major offensive in Samarra. That's about 60 miles north of Baghdad,
right.
Which had become what was called a no-go zone for the U.S. military. They were frequently getting attacked there.
Mm-hmm.
U.S. commanders indicate there will be other offenses in no-go zones before Iraqi elections are held in hope of establishing security in the country. How important is it to the U.S. elections that the Iraqi elections seem to be proceeding towards that date in January?
Well, happily for this administration, November 2nd comes before January. And so that if by the end of October it appears that it will be unlikely to be able to hold elections, that may have some effect. Mm-hmm. But the administration from the very start was very careful to make sure that anything that was considered a test of this administration's policy wouldn't happen until after the election.
A lot of people are left with images this week. Today's the first day of school at colleges and universities in Iraq, and the opening had been delayed for security reasons. This week, 34 Iraqi children were killed in Baghdad. They were standing next to a U.S. convoy that was distributing candy to children.
Yes, and what that reminds us of is that we conduct this whole discussion of Iraq sort of on two levels. On the political level in the United States, the president says they're doing well, things are improving, they're growing great guns. That's not meant to be a pun. And so, yes, and if you go to read the news from Iraq, however, it is really quite different. And you sort of wonder, what elections are they talking about? How can they possibly, when their own intelligence people tell them that things are going to be much worse before they get better? Mm-hmm. So you sort of wonder, there's the political talk, and then there's the real talk, and they don't often meet.
Couple quick questions. Congress will adjourn less than a week, October 8th. Leaves a few things undone, doesn't it? Like the budget.
Like the budget, like, yes. This... has been a really do-little session of Congress. And it's really quite amazing. You get things like Tom DeLay is being admonished because he traded a vote on Medicare to be able to help the son of one of the members. You're getting important things being introduced, not always passed, like getting a constitutional amendment to prevent gay marriages. And so it really becomes quite shocking how this Congress can go away and leave behind so much undone.
Thanks very much, Dan Schor.